are listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today's date is 1818. 1818, what do you mean by that? Well, the way that a date can be written out is January is 1, today is the 8th, and the year is 2018. So it's 1818 or 1818. Doesn't happen very often, does it? And we're going to be taking a look at reading from the second Sunday after the Epiphany. They are from 1 Samuel 3, 1 Corinthians 6, and John chapter 1. Epiphany. What is the season of Epiphany coming after Advent and Christmas? Epiphany really means the way that Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. So time and time again, during the season of Epiphany, we see elements of Jesus' ministry that shows that he is the Messiah. Well, the reading from John 1, at first reading, it's difficult to see how this fits in to the season of Epiphany. So let me read John 1, 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, part of the problem with the Bible is that it says things and doesn't indicate why it says it. For example, all it says is that Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And two verses later, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, how did he come to that conclusion? Because there's a lot here that is not written down. When Jesus says to Philip, "Follow me," I'm sure Philip would have asked, "Well, why do I need to follow you?" And Jesus would have shared with him the prophecies from the Old Testament that are now being fulfilled by Jesus himself. And that's why when Philip finds Nathanael, he says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Now, it's important to understand what the word law means. The word law has got about a dozen different meanings in the Bible. It can mean the moral law, the ceremonial law, the civil law. It can mean the first use of the law, the second use of the law, the third use of the law. But in this context, when Philip says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote," we divide the New Testament a lot of times into the gospel and the epistles. The Old Testament books were divided into the law and the prophets. So when Philip talks about Moses in the law, he's referring to the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the writings of Moses in the law. So the word law here isn't referring to the Ten Commandments or the civil law, the ceremonial law. It's referring to the books of the Bible. Because he says, "And also the prophets wrote," which is the second portion of the Old Testament. Now, occasionally, you'll get a three-part division: law, prophets, and writings. But in this case, Philip is using the law and the prophets. And he says, "We have found him of whom Moses wrote." And then he says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, that's not in the Old Testament. But he's saying that the fulfillment of what Moses and the prophets were writing about in regard to the coming Savior, that Savior is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Very, very important to understand. Because as we've said many, many times, when we're talking about a distinction between law and gospel, one of them that it is not is that the law is the Old Testament and the gospel is the New Testament. No, law and gospel appears in both the Old Testament books and the New Testament books. Remember the gospel to, well, that Adam and Eve heard when spoken to the serpent, the devil, is that Eve would have a son, or through her would come the Messiah. In fact, she thought that's who had been born in Genesis chapter 4. But it wasn't until Mary was coming into pregnancy by the power of the Holy Spirit that that was fulfilled. At any rate, there's plenty of gospel in the Old Testament books referring to the Messiah who would come, who's would be whipped for us. Our sins would be laid upon him, the iniquity of us all. And so Philip is saying Jesus is that person. Obviously, there was a discussion between Jesus and Philip where he came to believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, is the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah. Nathanael then hears this part, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was one of those cities that not much was thought of. You can talk about certain areas of a city, like in Chicago, South Chicago, there's a lot of crime going on, this sort of thing. And each state has maybe a city regarded in that way. Well, what good can come out of Nazareth? Philip says to him, come and see. The next verse, Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him and says to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael replies, how do you know me? I kind of laugh at that each time. That would be like somebody coming towards me and saying, oh, there's Pastor Baker. He is an individual who hardly ever sins. And I look at him and says, well, how do you know me? Now, I don't think Nathanael is saying that Jesus knows him because there is no deceit. He's simply, Jesus is saying, here's an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? It's not that Nathanael doesn't sin, but he has got the reputation of a man of integrity. You know, there's plenty of human beings, all of whom sin, but there are some who just have a better reputation than others. You tell him something, he makes a promise, you know that he's going to fulfill that promise. And that is what is meant there. Some people just live a life of integrity, even though they're still sinners. But in that sense, Jesus is saying, in regard to Nathanael, there is one in whom there is no deceit. So in that, Nathanael says, how do you know me? He may not be referring to the fact that he has no deceit, but that Jesus would even know him to be an Israelite. And Jesus answers him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael responds, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, those phrases come from the Old Testament. They're part of the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. The word in the Hebrew is Messiah. The translation into the Greek is Christ. So it's the same word. It means anointed one, which, of course, we talked about in the worship service dealing with the baptism of Jesus. He was anointed and began his ministry. Now, can you say that if somebody says, I saw you under the fig tree before you were even called, that you would jump to the conclusion, oh, this must be the Son of God. This must be the King of Israel. Jesus understands that and answers him. You know, Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, of course, Jesus is probably talking about the day of judgment, the last day. But the fact is, he says, you know, Nathanael, I told you I saw you under the fig tree and you're believing. You will see greater things than these. Now, why did Nathanael jump to the conclusion that Jesus was the Son of God, the King of Israel? Simply because Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Well, once more, we're faced with an absence in Scripture that probably was not absent. It's just not recorded. Because when Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael says to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. And then they start going to Jesus. Now, I don't know how far Jesus was away from them, but I cannot imagine that Philip wasn't sharing with Nathanael what Jesus had told him. And therefore, Philip had been hearing about the work of the Messiah as promised in the Old Testament. And remember what some of that work is that the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the mute would speak, and so forth. But therefore, this would be God himself. Now, if it's God himself, what's one of the attributes that God has? One of the attributes he has is what we refer to as omniscience. What does omniscience mean? It means that God knows everything. It was ridiculous for Adam and Eve, after they realized they had sinned, to go and hide in the garden, because there is nowhere in the Garden of Eden that God was not present. He's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Omniscient means he knows all things. Omnipresent means he's everywhere. Now, Nathanael was a student of the Old Testament. And so he's kind of surprised to hear that the Messiah is coming out of Nazareth, not a well-known city. And I'm sure Philip had shared with him some of the information that Jesus had provided Philip in order for him to say, yeah, this is the one that Moses and the law and the prophets are writing about, the Messiah, the Christ, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. When, therefore, Nathanael, when he hears Jesus say, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, Jesus wasn't in that area at all, in the sense of as a human being standing next to the fig tree. Nathanael recognized that this was a fulfillment of the Old Testament, that it would be God himself who would come to proclaim the gospel message. And when he realized that this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, that he not only is omniscient, he knows all things, but he's omnipresent, he has to be God. And so he believed. Now, I've said many a time that a person never is converted by a miracle. I can't think of one time. But see, a lot of people think that individuals are converted when they see a miracle. But we have to understand what the word converted means. The word converted means that you move from a situation where you don't believe in God or Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah to one where you are now becoming a believer. So before that conversion, you were going to hell. After that conversion, you're going to heaven. I don't see that happening with Nathanael. Had he died on the way that he was walking toward Jesus, he still would have gone to heaven. Why? Because he already was a believer. He believed in the Old Testament, the prophecies of those books. And so when Philip told him that, boy, I think we found the Messiah, and he was using those biblical passages, and then when Nathanael finally met Jesus, Jesus fulfills those passages. It's not that that Nathanael was converted from being an unbeliever to a believer. He was instead changed from being a believer who knew that the Messiah would come someday to a believer who now believed that Jesus was the Messiah. This is a really important distinction to make. In other words, I can't think of any place in the Old Testament where Jesus would be coming out of Nazareth. And so it's very important to understand this, that Old Testament believers were saved, even they did not know many things that we know from the New Testament. Because what saves you is not knowing the facts of history that are to be coming about in the work and person of Jesus Christ. What saves you is believing the promises connected to Jesus as the Messiah. This is really important to understand. On Wednesday, I'm looking forward to Insight Wednesday. I had the opportunity this past weekend to speak to two individuals, and I wear a coat, and on the back of the coat, it's longgospel.com, so people can go to my website. And the one individual knew the gospel had to do with religion, so he asked me a few things, and he and his friend asked me actually to join with them and talk more. I'm going to go over on Wednesday what we talked about. One was an atheist, the individual I was speaking with, and the other was a gay person. And I think you'll find it fascinating to see how I personally work with people like this, you know, who don't have any belief in Jesus Christ as Savior or belief in his morality. But one of the things is my goal was always to get in the gospel once they recognized that they were sinners. Why? Because only the gospel saves, only the promises of Jesus Christ. So for Nathanael to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, that meant that Philip had to instruct him as to what Jesus had told him. And therefore, when he saw it, he believed. A good example would be the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is clear that many people came to believe Jesus as the Messiah when Lazarus was raised from the dead. But it was not that they became converted. They were already believers waiting for the coming of the Messiah. All that the miracles of Jesus did, this is really important to remember, all the miracles did was to make it sure that Jesus was the Messiah. It wasn't a conversion from unbelief to belief. I can't find one time a miracle ever did that. But it was a conversion in the sense of waiting for the Messiah to now making a assurance that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, John the Baptizer came, sent his disciples to Jesus. They came to him and said, "How do we know you're the Messiah?" And Jesus recounts the miracles about the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the mute speaking. See, these were fulfillments of promises God made as to how to recognize who the Messiah was. But if you were an unbeliever, those miracles did not convince you. The proof of the pudding is the Bible says that the unbelieving Pharisees, when they heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, that was the last straw for them. It did not convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. It's not that they didn't believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead. They thought it was a trick of Beelzebub, the devil. So miracles never convert anybody from unbelief to faith. What they do, especially at the time of Jesus, is convince someone that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's why you can't get somebody to believe in Jesus by doing a miracle. No. Because remember what Romans 10 says? And faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when we take a look at this text, what has this got to do with Epiphany? Epiphany is the occasion when we see Jesus being manifested, being revealed as the promised Messiah. It first occurred to Philip when Jesus says, "Follow me," and heard from Jesus what his task was. And the Holy Spirit created faith in Philip, who already was a believer, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, to now believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised fulfillment of that Messiah. And that's the same thing that happened with Nathanael. Philip, I'm sure, had told Nathanael, here's the reasons why we believe this Jesus of Nazareth is the one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. And I'm not sure just saying that moved Nathanael to believe, because he was saying, what good can come out of Nazareth? You see, this is another point that we need to remember. When God chooses to do things, he always does them in ways that seems inappropriate. For example, he's looking for an apostle to the Gentiles. So who does he choose? A murderer of Christians by the name of Saul. Jesus is born. You would think the angels would be sent to the chief rabbis and priests of Israel to tell him the good news. No, the angels are sent to unclean shepherds. And then the message is also given to despised Gentile wise men. This is the Messiah. And they come and provide him with the gifts that the Bible says. Even remember the prophet, when they went to make a king for Israel, he could hardly believe that God had chosen David, because David was the youngest of the sons. He didn't seem like he was going to be a king, but that's whom God chose. And of course, the greatest thing that surprises us is that he chose you. You who did not deserve eternal salvation. But because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he came and chose you to be the Savior of the world. That's really quite a gift. So this really is Epiphany, because both Philip and Nathanael hear enough about Jesus that when they finally meet him, they now believe that he is the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament regarding the Messiah. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And therefore, when Jesus does and says something that only God could do. Before Philip even called you, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. Wow. Only God is able to be everywhere and to know all things. And that's why Philip now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, believes that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. During this Epiphany season, we're going to be taking a look at other events in the life of Jesus to show how Jesus proved he was the Messiah to those of faith. Those apart from faith, Jesus couldn't do anything, even the raising of Lazarus from the dead, to convince people that he was a Messiah. But for those who already were believers, who already in their hearts were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, then Jesus fulfilled the promises, as he told the disciples of John the Baptizer, in order that they might recognize him as the Son of God, the King of Israel. That takes faith. And apart from the Holy Spirit, nobody will ever have that faith. But with the Word of God preached, the Holy Spirit can use that and create faith in the heart of the most despicable of unbelievers, including the murderer Saul. Because when God has a purpose and he makes up his mind through whom that purpose will be fulfilled, then it's going to happen. Because God's promises are always sure. He never lies. So you also, in the waters of baptism, receive the faith that will guarantee your life in heaven. I'm Tom Baker on the next Law and Gospel with the help of our friend Pastor Mark Smith. We're going to look at a hymn entitled, The Only Son from Heaven. I thought all human beings were sons of God. How do we explain this? It's going to be the topic of our discussion on the next Law and Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.